both barrels go then, can you? I have to wait a few more minutes because they're not in here yet. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning, Tom.
And it's good to have some fresh faces. It's always encouraging. We can get Grand Central Station settled down. All right, we'll get going. We are in the book of Galatians. Now, before you open your Bible, anybody want to give me those first three verses? You can just try. If you don't get it, it's okay. You can give me a paraphrase version. Okay, well, you got portions.
That's right. I'll put it all together.
Paul said this. He said, Paul, an apostle, not of man.
Jesus Christ.
This is my sister. Sometimes she takes her meds, sometimes she don't. He says, an apostle, not of man. Neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Now, what is Paul doing here? He's writing an epistle to a church. Today, we're going to get an epistle in song. I've prayed all week. I hope it's not from you. And don't take that offensively. We need to hear from God through the songs. The Holy Spirit can use you, and we hear from God. And then we know we're getting truth. If you don't hear from God, you're not getting truth. We've even got a disinformation board now. They tell the truth. No. Here's your truth. And if you don't know it, you don't know truth. If you don't know the God of the Word, you don't know the truth. And if you don't know the Word of God, you don't know the truth. This is truth. So Paul is saying, listen, I want you to know, first of all, this didn't come from man. I didn't go to some cemetery and get a degree. This is from God. Because he says, from Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Well, I don't believe anybody at these cemeteries that they go to. And don't get me wrong, I'm not against education. I've got a preacher back here that went to school. Praise the Lord. But his message can't come from the professors at the school. It's got to come from God. And Paul needs to make that known. And for those who are have not been with us each Sunday, you don't know where I'm at yet, but I will get there. I'll get you there. And then he says, who raised him from the dead. And then he says, and all the brethren that are with me to the churches of Galatia, grace unto you. Let me say this morning, if you don't know grace, you ain't saved. It's that simple. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He says, grace unto you and peace. Oh, listen, if you don't have grace, you don't have peace. If you don't have peace, Romans 5:1 says you ain't justified. If you ain't justified, you ain't saved. He says, grace and peace be unto you from whom? From God the Father and from Jesus Christ who gave himself. Don't you like that? He just equated Jesus Christ with God and said, who gave himself. Nobody else could save us. No one who gave himself for our sins. You know, I hear a lot of preachers and teachers. In fact, I heard a lady this week that wrote The Jesus I Know, Kathy Lee Gifford. And it's about, you know, it's about her speaking with all the celebrities in Hollywood and how, you know, some of them are atheists and some of them are Buddhists and some of them are Hindu, and they're discussing the Jesus they know and she's discussing the Jesus she knows. Oh, God, who would write a book like that? But he says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver. Now, y'all know that deliver is the same word in the Greek as saved, that he might save us. But he says that he might deliver us from this. I got guests today. Come on, show something, huh? Thank you. From this present evil world. According to the will of God the Father. And then we covered last week this next verse. Anybody remember it? To him be glory forever and ever. I'd say that God coming and humbling himself and placing himself in the flesh to die for our sins when he was sinless, I would say that rates glory. Well, it doesn't matter what I say. I read you last week where he says, give unto God the glory due his name. And that's where I want to pick up this morning. Turn, if you will, to Nehemiah. I know you thought we was in Galatians, but we are. We just get there a different way. Nehemiah 9:5. Now stay with me because we're going to do one of our roller coaster rides. Now here, the scene is this. Nehemiah has come in, and the Levites have come in, and they've brought the word in. And they're giving the word out. And the people stand and worship and then confess. And then they worship and then they confess. You know, maybe we'd worship a little more if we confess before we get here. Amen. Then the Levites, Joshua, Commodale, Benai, Hashani, Shebani, Hodiah, Shebani, and Pethahiah said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou, art Lord. What's that next word? What does that mean, Henry? Now, I want you to say that loudly. There is no other. Now, I want you to file that, because that'll come back here in just a brief minute. There is no other. In fact, in one place he says, neither is there any other like me, for I am the Lord. That is my name. Now, look, if you will, real quickly over at Psalms 133, I believe it is. If it's not, I'll keep going. Yes, y'all know I forget where it's at. I just know where it's at. That's not where it's at. You give me a second. I know where it's at. It's on this page right here, but I ain't got that page yet. There it is right there. I knew it was on that page. It's 113. 113. Praise you, Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name. Now, listen, if that's not why we're here today, we need to go home. It would be an abomination to God to come into this house, which is His house, and not praise Him. Now look, and don't get me wrong, I know we've got the park coming and today is Celebration Sunday and all that. I get that. But I hope our minds aren't up at the park, folks. We'll be at the park when we get to the park. God may come before we get to the park. If He comes, I want Him to come catching us, praising Him. So He says, praise Him. And He says, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God? Anybody ever helped you as much as God has? I don't think so. I don't think so. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high, who humbleth? Think about this. He's talking about God, the creator of everything. And here's what he says. Who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. In other words, the one on the throne, the creator and sustainer of everything, humbles himself to think of us and to know our needs. Therefore, John 3:16 means everything, doesn't it? For God, who so loved the world, gave His only Son. Why? Because we needed Him. He humbled Himself and became obedient, even obedient to the death of the cross. He raised up the poor out of the dust and lifted the needy out of the dunghill, that He may set him with princes, even with the princes of His people. He maketh the... Well, I tell you, if there's ever a day and time we need this verse, here it comes. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. You know anybody can take a barren woman and make her a mother? I don't, but I do. God. That's who gave Himself for our sins. That He might deliver us. He humbled Himself so He could pay for our sins, so that He could deliver us and get us out of here. You do know you're going out of here, don't you? Well, which way are you going? Up or down? Then isn't that something to praise Him for? I ain't going down. I'm going. This old body will go down, brother. Out here at the VA, by the way, if you want to come. I won't keep you long. I've done put in there, hey, my wife, I've done told her, 30 minutes to the funeral and 10 minutes to the graveside, and let's get out of here. Because Tom's already left, as y'all will learn, I'm sure.
We're going to be more like you and leave early.
Now, well, hey, that'd be fine, me. I won't know. I don't care. Now, look at, no, this next one, listen, if you don't like this next one, I can't help you. Proverbs 18:10, hurry. Are you there? Proverbs 18:10. Here's what it says. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. How many of you just this week have called on the name of the Lord? I ain't got enough to raise. How many times this week did He not answer? Not three, zero. Zero. He's a strong tower. He humbles Himself so that He can meet your need, Bill. He knows your need. Oh, bless God, He knows what it's like to hurt. He knows what it's like to be sick. He knows what it's like to mourn. Like, yeah, I went to two funerals yesterday. He knows what it's like to be broken. He stood at the tomb of Lazarus and wept. He knows what it's like. Here's what happens. The righteous runneth into it and is It's the only safe place. You know, we've got this deal now where they've got safe spaces. You know, when you get all upset because your workmate said something offensive and it's tore me all to pieces, I've got to have a safe space. No. Here's the safe space. Because you know why? You can go to it, Doris, in the middle of the day or in the middle of the night. You can run to it and be safe. That's who our God is. Now look at Isaiah real quick. Isaiah. Isaiah 50. Verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness? Now, if you're here today and you're saved, you're not walking in darkness. But if you're here today and you're lost, you're walking in darkness. It's just that simple. It's not complicated. The gospel of Christ is simple. You're either in light or you're in darkness. You're either in the kingdom of Satan or you're in the kingdom of his dear son. It's not complicated. And he says, who is that and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Anybody know what Romans 10:13 says? It's okay if you don't, I'm going to tell you. For whosoever, anybody left out there? No. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord,
shall be saved.
Thank you. Shall be saved. Isn't that simple? Isn't that simple? That's not complicated. You don't have to do 10 spiritual calisthenics. You call upon him. For with the mouth confession is made, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's simple. Why is that important? Because Paul in Galatians is bewildered. And why is he bewildered? Oh, he's bewildered. He says, well, I marvel. I'm bewildered. I'm in shock that you are so soon, so quickly removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. Look, if you will, at Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns, and he had a name written which no man knows. And he was clothed with vesture dipped in blood. Listen, either his blood will be on you or your blood will be on him. Which would you rather do? I believe I'd rather have his blood on me, wouldn't you, brother? Because there's coming a time when your blood's going to be on him. He says, and he dipped in blood, and his name is called the, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. Well, here he still is. He's still God, the Word of God, and the armies which were in heaven fought at him. Now, how many of you can't ride a horse? Better get you some lessons. No, you don't need lessons. You're going to know how. You're just going to mount up and follow him. Well, I'll read it to you. I mean, that's what it says. You know, a lot of people don't believe in white horses, but I do. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen and white. Ain't no blood on us. Huh? You know why? Because we applied his blood. His precious blood. For you're not bought with gold and silver which perishes, but by the precious blood of Christ. You have to have it. Isn't that simple? That's the gospel. Not complicated. It's not religion. It's not Baptist. It's not Methodist. It's not Presbyterian. It's not Pentecostal. It's not Catholic. It's not anything. It's just the blood applied. And then you're in the army. You're in the army now. Ha! You're not behind the plow. You'll never get rich by digging a ditch. You're in the army now. Y'all didn't think I could remember it. Huh? Honey, they still have army songs. Shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness, and he's treading out wrath, but we're in behind him. He hath delivered us, it says. He hath delivered us. That's an aorist tense in the Greek. It means a past action. He delivered you, and it's a continuing result. He's still delivering you from the wrath to come. You're going to be in his army. You ain't going to feel the wrath. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. I don't care what anybody says. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh name. Remember, I just read you all in the Old Testament about his name. How important his name is. Well, when it's all said and done, bless God, he's still got his name. I never will forget my dad, and Dan, I know, remembers this probably more than I do. My dad would say, now listen, boys. When you go out there, remember whose name you got. He took his name very serious. And he wasn't going to have it drugged through the mud by a bunch of idiot boys. Well, God takes his name very serious, folks. When we call ourselves Christians, that means Christ. And I'm afraid, I'll start with me, you start with you. Sometimes I forget that. Sometimes I forget who I belong to. But here I won't. He says, and hath on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who Paul is writing the letter to the Galatians about. And that's why he is so frustrated. He says, I just can't believe you have so soon removed, departed, turned from. Not a doctrine, not a religion. Him. You've turned from him unto another gospel. Now, that word another in the Greek, there's two different words that is translated another. This word is the same word when Jesus said, it is necessary, it is needful that I go away. For if I go away, the Father will send, no, The Father will send another. Another. The word means, now, for example, if I said to you, give me another Bible, and I use this word, you would have to give me a Bible just like this Bible with all the diddle-daddles and all the markings and every little note I've made. It'd have to be identical. It couldn't vary one bit. It's identical. So what he's saying is, it's necessary that I go away. But when I go away, the Father's going to send one identical to me. Because I and the Father are, and the Holy Spirit and the Father are, and I and the Holy Spirit are, and we have no space between us. We are identical. Well, that's what he uses here. He says, I am shocked that you have removed yourself from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. An identical gospel. And right away you'd think, well, wait a minute, that means there's two. No, no, no. He followed that up by saying, which is not another. There can't be two gospels, folks. There's only one. Romans says that the gospel is according to the Son of God. It is the gospel of God in verse 1. And then on over there he says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. There's not but one. There's none other. And that's what's shocking him, because the Judaizers had come down, and what did they say? They said, listen, Christ is good, but you have to keep the law and be circumcised to be saved. That was their exact words. And these people were starting to buy into it. And Paul is putting up a defense. He said, no, there's not another. And he says, let me show you. Now go to Galatians, if you will. He says, let me show you how serious it is. Let me show you what you're doing is very, very serious. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert, to twist. Everybody knows what a pervert is, don't you? It means to twist something, to take something and make it look different, but have the same thing. It doesn't work. He said they would pervert. Pervert what? The gospel of Christ. The very thing at a red light in Winter Park, Florida, February. 1982, saved me, and it didn't only save me, it changed me, and it didn't only change me, it's kept me. You say, Tom, so you've lived without any flaws since then. Oh, my goodness. My knees are rubbed raw where I fell. But not a time did I not feel grace reach down and say, come on now. Come on. Keep it going. Keep your eyes on me. That's grace. My goodness. Would it not shock you? You don't mind me pointing, do you? Would it not shock you if this guy right here that you know real well behind you one day removed himself from what saved him? Wouldn't you be bewildered? I said last week, look, I don't judge anyone, but I don't understand people that make a profession and bless God, and a month later you couldn't find them within 100 miles of the church. I don't understand that. I've never wanted to be anywhere else. I know what I was. I know what he's done for me. And it kills me when I feel it. But though we, notice he's putting himself in there now. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, same word. In other words, if I try to preach to you something and I say, well, now this is just as good. This will get the job done too. Christ is good, but you got to be baptized. I believe in baptism, folks. But I believe by one Spirit are we all baptized in Christ. And I believe water baptism, bless God, just showing everybody what Christ done for you. But now you can believe what you want to. But the gospel of Christ is simple. It doesn't need anything added to it. Christ is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. It's sufficient to save you. It's sufficient to keep you. And you know what else? It's sufficient to get you on a white horse. In my robe of white, I will fly away to that land so fair. Meet my Jesus there. It will be so grand when I get to that land in my robe. Y'all don't believe you're going to be in a robe? I don't know what kind of robe it is. It's a robe of righteousness according to the Bible. It's a robe of whiteness because it's pure. And it's only pure because Christ gave it to you. He's sufficient. So he said, if me or an angel or anybody preached another gospel, which is not another, he says, let them be eternally condemned. Let them be eternally condemned. Now, please don't think that I'm vulgar. I'm going to use present day vernacular. Let them go to hell. It's where they belong. Anybody preach any other gospel other than the saving grace of Christ, they belong in hell and they need to go there. But you know the thing about grace? It saved them too if they turned to it. Huh? Isn't that amazing? I wouldn't. I'll just be honest with you. Hey, there's some people I wouldn't save. But I'm not grace. I'm not grace. For by grace through faith are you saved, and that not of yourself. It's not of thy works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. For the wages of sin is, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That don't get any more. And we can't add to it. And he says, as we said before, so say I now again. I told you once, I'm going to tell you again, he said. If any man preach any other gospel than that ye have. Now, did you notice the difference there? The first time he said, than the gospel I preached. And the second time he says, the gospel they received. I couldn't tell you. Well, I could. I guess I could. I can't either. I'd be lying. I couldn't tell you how many professions I made before I got saved. And you know what? None of them worked. I mean, I might have been good for a week or two. I'll give you a good example. My brother knows this because he was in that group I sang in. I sang with my two brothers and my mom. We'd go around singing gospel. Well, I was just as lost as I could be. I'd come to church on Sunday morning and sing, and I'd be on the golf course that afternoon drinking and cussing and gambling. You say, Tom, that's awful. I know it is. That's why I know about that red light. I know the difference. I told y'all this. I had a friend. He's dead now. His name was Richard Edens. Anybody know Richard Edens? Edens Carpet in Elizabeth? We used to gamble a lot together. I never will forget when I got back in Florida. I told him, I said, Red, I got saved. He said, well, he said, I saw him about 4 or 5 months later. He said, you know, you cost me some money. I said, how did I cost you some money? He said, I bet them that you'd be right back with us before long. I said, I'm sorry you lost your money, but I'm glad that I ain't back with you. See, Paul is going to not only tell them that it's a simple gospel, it's a changing gospel. Because he goes on to tell about his own. He says, listen, look at me. I persecuted the church. Well, I go up and get a license and a warrant for these people, and I go up and bring them down and feed them to the lions and burn them at the stake and different things. And I thought I was doing it for God. But after the Damascus Road, well, he was changed. That's why I say, look, if you're not changed, you ain't saved. If you're still who you were before you got saved, you're not saved. It's not, that's not judgmental. That's truth. Salvation changes you. For we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are. Folks, look, if a person's not that, they're not saved. That's just what it says. And Paul is so adamant about that. He knows the difference. He was under the law. He said, listen, I exceeded everyone under the law. I was at the top. But notice what he says in verse 14. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my... Bless God. These abortion people need to read that. He knew Jeremiah before he was separated from his mother's womb. He knew Paul. He knew you. But anyway, that's a different story. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His to reveal His. I made me a little note over to the right of that. It says, that's salvation. Christ in you, that's salvation. And he says, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. And immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He said, I'm not of man. I didn't get it from man. He says, I didn't get pleasure. Neither went I up to Jerusalem. I didn't go up to Jerusalem and get it from them either. He says, which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. 3 years he spent in the wilderness. With whom? With God. Because he says, I didn't get it from man, I got it from God. It took God 3 years to give me my message. Well, that's about right. How long take you to get your degree? About 3 years. That's about right. But he got a degree from the finest. Huh? University of God. Yeah, boy, that's a good one. He says, that I might preach him among the heathen. In other words, here was a man that persecuted them and prosecuted them. Now he's going to preach. What a God. I'm not giving Paul any glory here, folks. I'm giving God glory. I'm just trying to show you the change. Paul's trying to show them the change. He says, my goodness, if you remove yourself from him, how are you going to be changed? So he says, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by faith unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. I'm unashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, the Gentiles. I like that last verse. And they glorified God in me. I've heard these people sing, and I hope they don't mind me saying this. I've heard a lot of others sing. They magnify God. But I'm not going to give them glory today. I want to glorify God through them. When our preacher preaches, I want to glorify God through him. When I teach, I want you to glorify God through me. When Jean preaches or teaches, I want you to glorify God. Why? Because he is due the glory. It's him that made the change. You know what? And it's him that keeps you changed. Because if it was left up to me, just ask Red Edens, I'd have been right back with them. But it wasn't up to me. Hallelujah. He didn't save me and say, now Tom, I saved you, try to get there. Climb up the rough side of the mountain. No. He said, Tom, I've saved you. I'm going to give you my spirit. One day, I'll come for you. Glory. I'm not going to twist that. I'm not going to pervert that. I'm going to teach that. Amen. And I'm going to teach this. You'll either go to the supper of God or you'll be supper. Because in that 19th chapter of Revelation, he says, and he called the fowls of the air. And guess what? They had a big feast of those who didn't get to the supper. They became supper. That's who saved you. That's who keeps you saved. That's who humbled himself to care for everything, every need that you have. In the middle of the night or the middle of the day. I'm done.